1. Glad you're here today. The new series starting out of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And get a little introduction today in these first four verses. 1st John chapter 1, 1 through 4. 1st John chapter 1. Look with me there, chapters 1 through 4, Gospel of 1 John, or not the Gospel, but 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. Verse 3 says, in which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Just on that song, that if you're saved, your joy will be full. And there it is. 1 John 1, 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. And Father, Ephesians 2, that we heard this morning, for by grace are you saved through faith. And what a wonderful gift it is. Father, we just pray now that we would just, Lord, do what we should do when we're here, and that's to listen, and Father, that's to hear. And then, Lord, that if the Holy Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, that we respond. And, Lord, that we just want to be more like you. We're here to learn. We're here to glean. We just pray, Father, as you use me today, that as I speak to the ears of these sweet people here today, that, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, as you can tell already, tucked way, way, way in the back of our Bibles is this book of truth called 1 John. This book is like all 66 books of the Bible. It's inspired by God himself, who God used 40 different people over a period of about 1,500 years. And in this case, he uses a fellow by the name of John to write 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. John was one of the 12 original 12 disciples that Jesus handpicked to be his followers. He discipled them personally. He mentored them. Now, Bible scholars believe that at this time when John writes 1 John, he's the only one of the 12 that are still living. The other 11 have been martyred. They've been killed for their faith. They've been killed for their stand. They've been killed for their convictions. But John's the only one, according to Bible scholars, that is still living. And by the way, he is the only one that will not die a martyr's death. John had a very close, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in what was called the inner circle. You see, Peter, James, and John mentioned all the time through Scripture. So of the 12 handpicked disciples, you see many times in Scripture where the Bible refers to Peter, James, and John, this is the John that is in that inner circle. He had a personal, close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, Jesus found John, called him to be a disciple, and John was a fisherman. And that's who Jesus picked to be one of his disciples. And now that's who Jesus picked to pen to be the human author of this wonderful book, the book of 1 John. And we will actually get into 2 John and 3 John. The book of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John are for the purpose, just if we had a theme, it would be for the purpose of daily growth for the Christian life. And so, as John
from a fisherman matured spiritually. He walked with Jesus the 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry. He saw firsthand, he heard firsthand, he participated firsthand. And so now he's writing things inspired by the Holy Spirit in these books. And so we're going to glean truths and nuggets out of these wonderful books, these wonderful verses to simply help us grow and to simply take our pulse of where we're at spiritually through this wonderful book and this teaching. Now, as a matter of fact, just a kind of a tidbit information, 30 times in this very small book, 30 different times, John writes this four-letter word, K-N-O-W. In other words, 30 times we're going to see where Paul's, where John says, you can know. We've asked people many, many times, Cheryl and I have, you probably asked people many times, do you know if you died today? You go to heaven. And many, many times people said, well, I think so, I hope so, I wish so, maybe so. And John said, he writes 30 different times that there's some things you can know. You can know some things. You ought to know them. You got to learn and grow. We might not have known everything the day we got saved, but if we've been saved and we've been in church, and we've been in Sunday school, and we've been in Bible study, and we've been in ladies' groups and men's groups, and we've been in all these things, then there are some things we should know. And we should know it based on Scripture, the standard of Scripture. We should know it. I know someone says, are you married? I said, yeah. I don't say I hope so. And I sure don't say, I wish I wasn't. I never say that. He knows I can say stuff when Cheryl's not here that I can get by with it. But no one here would ever tell me. It's Joyce. Nobody would tell me. But I know it. And the reason I know it, I was there. I talked about Shoney's, my first job. I got married at Shoney's. Cheryl, I got married. Her dad walked her in the side door. Kenny, was you at our wedding? Your parents were there. So, sorry you worked and missed the wedding. Hey, Kenny, a lot of people miss that wedding because they said, that wedding's never going to make it. That's what they said. Your parents, Cheryl's parents probably told your parents, it ain't going to make it. And she's never told me that. But I will tell you, if there was ever a wedding that needed a B12 shot, ours needed two B12 shots. And so now in November, we married 46 years. And it only seems like 45 years. It just seems like 45 years. But it will be 46 years. And who knew? But someone asked me if I'm married. I go like, yeah, I know I'm married because I was there. If someone asked me if I died and went to heaven, if I died, would I go to heaven? I go, yeah, I know. I know because I was there when that happened. I was there when that transformation happened. I was there when God convicted me. I was there when I went up and asked God to forgive me and I turned it over to Him. I've learned and grown a whole lot. I've got a whole lot more growing and learning to do. But the truth is, I was there, I know. And if someone don't know, you can know. I'm just saying, according to John, there's some things you can know. He writes 30 different times. You can know. And so our series on Sundays is going to be, there's things we can know. This new series is going to, we will cover and teach and explain the things we can know, the things we can put in concrete, the things that we can have no doubt about, the things that we can take to the bank. Not because of Don Bradford said it, Pastor said it, because Bradley believes it, because Southern Baptist endorsed it. No, it's because the standard, the Word of God says there's some things we can know. It's God's standard. It's God's Word. It's God's Word through John that tells us there's some things we can know. Now, before we get into the first four verses, let me give you just a real brief background on why Luke's fixing to write these things about knowing, and it'll help us to have a little sketch of a background on why he started trying to tell her there's some things you should know. And so it starts with the background is there was a false teaching, false preaching, false doctrine going around called Gnosticism. And Gnosticism was a pagan Greek philosophy that taught, of all things, it taught that human bodies, physical human bodies, were evil. Okay? Now, we believe physical human bodies are depraved. We believe that because Scripture teaches that. But they went a step further and they said, since human physical bodies are evil, then Jesus couldn't have never had a human physical body. And so, Gnosticism simply says that they couldn't accept that Jesus was ever on earth, that he ever lived on earth, that he was ever born of a virgin, that he ever showed up here, that because of the physical body, human body, is evil. And so that false teaching was going around in John's day. And so their belief and teaching because of that went on to say, get ready, it went on to say and to simply condone lasciviousness. So they said, since the bodies, human physical bodies, our bodies are evil, and God don't have any part of evil, then he couldn't have came here in the flesh. He couldn't have come here in a human body. He couldn't have been born of a virgin. And so, and our bodies are evil. And so because they're evil, then they came up with this term called lasciviousness. You see it in the book of Jude as well. Lasciviousness, which simply meant this. You ready? They taught, based on that teaching, they taught that just rules don't matter. Live any way you want to live. The body's evil, go for it. Put in your body what you want in your body. Do what you want with your body. Hey, it's evil anyway. Live any way you want to. And that was the false teaching, the false doctrine, the false prophesying, the false doctrine that was going around in that day. And so John's going to put a stop to it and start teaching truth. And so John is teaching truths that are opposite of Gnosticism, that began to creep into the churches in John's day. They're teaching no incarnation, meaning no virgin birth. They're teaching no perfect living. Jesus wasn't here to live a perfect life because he was never here, because if he would have been, he would have been embodied as evil, and God can't do that. Their teaching was no literal human body. Verse 1, here we go. You got the background. You got the reason. He's going to say what he says. That which was from the beginning. Hey, John just starts off. It's so vital. It's so important. It's so imperative that he simply nips this false teaching in the bud, that he don't have no greeting. There's no introduction. A lot of the books of the Bible, they start to greet. They greet you. There's introduction. They talk about other people. He gets right to it. Because of the importance of what's going on with this false teaching, man, there's no bridge, there's no opening. He's simply going to say right off the bat, he's going to say opposite of what they're teaching, that Christ is real eternally. Did you notice what he said? That which was from the beginning. He's going to go into that. Hey, Christ has always been here. He's been here from the beginning. Now, when you see that, when it says that which was from the beginning, you can't help but think in the Bible that there's three areas in Scripture that talks about beginnings. One is in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens. We know that. In the beginning. But he talks about beginnings here in 1 John 1:1. But listen, so it was mentioned in Genesis 1:1, the first verse of the entire book of canon Scripture. And then the second time it's mentioned in the beginning is found in Mark 1:1. And that was the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That begins to talk about the gospel. And that's the second time it's mentioned. It's mentioned in Mark 1:1, New Testament. And then the third mention of the beginning is right here in 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning. Now what he's doing is he's fixing to nail down, John is, he's going to nail down truth versus false teaching. That's what he does in 1 John. And when he says that Jesus Christ was real eternally, then what he's going to tell us and teach us is that when it says that that which was from the beginning, that God, Jesus coexisted with God in the beginning, that Jesus was co-eternal with God in the beginning, and that Jesus was co-equal with God in the beginning, and that Jesus was God, and Jesus is God, and that's what he talks about. First, or John 1:1 says the same thing. And that's the same author, the Gospel of John 1, when he talks about him being in the beginning. So, number one, when he talks about that which was from the beginning, remember, he's contradicted what they're teaching, Gnosticism, on that Jesus was never real. Jesus had a human body. Jesus wasn't a virgin born. Jesus didn't walk on this work on this earth for 33 years. And so they're saying that, and he's combating it as false teaching with truth from Scripture. And so, first of all, he was real eternally. Secondly, that Christ was real historically. So not only was he real eternally, co-equal, coexisted, was co-God in the beginning, that number two, he coexisted, or Christ is real historically. Look at verse 2. For the life was manifested. It means that Jesus not only coexisted eternally, but historically he also came, and that's when he was born, that first Christmas day. That's when his life was manifested. The word manifest is a word we don't hear much today, but what that means is that, hey, his life, his body, his physical aspect of being Jesus, of being 100% man, hey, it became manifested. It means, it simply means, that word means to, it simply appeared, it became visible, and that's how God revealed his son Jesus to the world, is through a visible appearance that was manifested when Jesus came in the world as a newborn baby born of a virgin by the name of Mary. So Jesus, who existed in eternity with God the Father, was then made visible through the virgin birth, and who lived on earth in a human body. Now, remember, he's taken false doctrine and clarifying it, and he's doing a good job of it. Look back to verse 1. Notice what it says. We go back to verse 1. That which was from the beginning, and don't miss this next part, which we have heard. So that which was from the beginning, verse 2, whose life was manifested in verse 2. So in verse 1 it says, that which was from the beginning, verse 2, whose life was manifested. Stay with me. Back to verse 1. Which we have heard. Uh-oh, there it is. We have heard. We refer to not only himself, John, but we refer to others who were ear witnesses. He said, not only did I hear him, others, we have heard him. We don't know how many we were, but we know after the resurrection, there were more than 500 witnesses that seen and heard that Jesus resurrected from the dead. And so we see here that he said, hey, what do you mean he wasn't here? What do you mean there was no physical body? What do you mean there was no incarnation? What do you mean that doctrine that says that you can live any way you want to because he never came here and never appeared here and never walked on this earth? I'm here to tell you I'm an eyewitness, and I'm not the only eyewitness. I heard him, he said first. I heard him. John is writing to the church about false teaching, false doctrine, and concerning Jesus being real human, alive person. Now we understand that already this morning. John said, I've got news for you guys. I've got news for any who discredit that Jesus was humanly, that housed a physical body on earth. I've got news for you. I've heard him. He's real. As a matter of fact, they don't say this, but I'm sure he's probably thinking it, and as a pastor that reads scripture, you kind of understand. He said, as a matter of fact, I remember hearing him like it was yesterday. I'll never forget hearing him. His words that I heard come from his lips still ring in my ears today. That's how assured I am of what I'm saying as John writes this. It says in verse 1, it goes on to say, we have heard, but notice what else it says. We have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. And now he's really getting deep. John writes, I not only heard him, the one you said never lived, the one you said never walked, the one you said never had a physical body, the one you said never appeared upon earth. I'm here to tell you that not only have I heard him and others have heard him, I'm here to go a step further, and I want you to know that not only have I seen him, but we have also seen him, and I've seen him with my own eyes. I've looked upon him. I didn't look at him from a distance. I didn't look at him through a glance. I didn't look at him with some trance, some dream. No, I looked upon him. The one I heard him and I looked and I saw him and I looked upon him. The Greek word here says that it was an intense stare. I looked at him. I looked and examined him with my eyes as I looked upon him. So we have an ear witness. Now we have an eyewitness. And not just one, but many. And then notice he don't stop there. He's proven what that false doctrine is saying is wrong. He's proven that it's true. And look what he says. He closes out verse 1. Here's what he says. He said, that which was from the beginning, that one that coexisted, that one that's co-equal, that one that was co-God. Hey, we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we've looked upon. Now notice last, and our hands have handled the word of life. He goes back to that first Easter. And the reason he goes back to the first Easter is because everybody says he died, and he did die. Jesus did die. But he was on his team. He was on the ministry team of Jesus for 3 years. But he says he goes back to that first Easter, that first Sunday morning, John chapter 20, that first Easter morning. Hey, when the disciples had gathered in the upper room because the Jews were saying, y'all stole him. What's happened to him? He's not in the tomb. Someone stole him. They stole the body. And so they went out of fear to the upper room and gathered to try to encourage themselves. And man, they were shaking in their boots, so to speak, because they're thinking like, man, they're going to come and get us and arrest us. And they've already, and look how they killed Jesus. They're going to come and get us. And lo and behold, when they're in the upper room, the Bible says that Jesus showed up. He had died 3 days earlier, but he had resurrected from the grave that morning, and he decides to come and pay them an unannounced visit. And, according to Bible scholars, he didn't knock on the door. He didn't ring the doorbell. He didn't simply call them in advance and say, I'm coming. The Bible says he just shows up in their midst. He just walks through walls because he's God. He just walks through them. And lo and behold, he shows up, and the first thing he does is says, hey, it's me. Hey, look at the scars of my hands. Look at the scars in my feet where they nailed me to a cross. And he opened his coat, his robe, and said, and look at my side where they speared me. He showed up. He said, man, we've heard him and we've seen him with our own eyes and we've healed him. Well, Thomas, doubting Thomas, said, I'm not going to believe him unless my hands touch those scales. And Jesus said, hey, and when John writes, he's thinking back 50 years earlier when that day happened. I heard him with my own ears. I saw it with my own eyes. I touched him with my own hands. These are undisputed senses, universal senses, eyes and ears and feel. Jesus was real eternally. Jesus was real historically, and Jesus was real experientially. You see, John was handpicked. He was chosen personally by Jesus once he received Christ through faith. And then faith, in those days, faith for us, faith becomes the hands and the eyes and the ears of one's soul. We've never seen him with our eyes. We've never heard him with our ears. We've never touched him and handled him like John did. But by faith, faith becomes our eyesight. We see him by faith, but we cross over, then we get to quit seeing him by faith and seeing him by sight. And so that's exactly what happened to John. John confirms in verse 1 that Jesus Christ is real, legit. He's genuine. He's 100% human, but also 100% God. Verse 3, let me finish it. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. For those that know Jesus by faith, then we experience spiritual Christian fellowship. Sprightly understanding, it means this. Fellowship means deep sharing of things we have in common. You see, we have things in common here because we've got things in common and uncommon with the people outside the doors here that aren't saved by faith. You see, we partner with Christ as part of fellowship. We go into business with Christ. His business becomes our business as part of fellowship with Christ. We become interested in things He's interested in because we fellowship with Christ. We share His love. We share His desire. We share His goals. We share His plans. What it talks about in verse 3. As followers of Christ, we join in fellowship with Him. His heartbeat is to be our heartbeat. His mission is to be our mission. What He loves, we should love. What He hates, we should hate. What He desires, we should desire. When someone joins the Sprightly Baptist Church, we have them come up. We tell the church their testimony. When they got saved, they've been scripturally baptized. They got saved today. We tell them whatever we say. And but we have them come up, and then we invite the church family, you and I, we invite you and us to come up and give your right hand of fellowship to our newest member. Now we have something to come. We do it, you do it, we've experienced that. And that's what he's saying there. He says, that which we have seen and heard and declare, that we unto you, that we also may have fellowship. Have fellowship. And the way we fellowship with him is two ways. One, through Bible reading. When you and I read the Bible, that's how God speaks to us. His word. This is His word, so this is letter. We read it, and that's through fellowship. We learn from Him. And then when we want to speak to Him, the second way we have fellowship is when we pray. That's how we speak. He speaks to us through Scripture. Now, someone's not in God's family. They don't understand Scripture. They can read the Bible. They don't understand it. The Bible says they don't have spiritual understanding. Only a child of God can understand Scripture according to maybe 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so we can understand it because we're, and that's how we're in fellowship. We read it, he speaks to us, we pray to him, we speak to him. That's fellowship. That's an amazing relationship that not everybody has. Man in fellowship with Creator God. Now I have verse 4, we'll speak up there next week, but I just wanted to let you know that we have an amazing fellowship. Not just each other, but with the Creator God. That Natasticism said, no such thing. No human, no walking on earth, no virgin birth. Human body is evil. So Jesus would have never came to have been living an evil body. It's not what God would do. And John said, hold it. Just let me set the record clear. Because there's some things we can know, and one of them we can know. Is that Jesus came, and Jesus was born of a virgin, and Jesus lived a perfect life, and Jesus died for the sin of the world, and Jesus resurrected. And I'm here to tell you, as a live witness, an ear witness, as a my hands on him witness, touched him, heard him, saw him, that you can know that what they're teaching is false, and what God says is true. He did come. And because of that, we can have fellowship. And then it goes on to, we can have joy. We'll pick it up next week. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Father, we just pray that we get into the first John.
Father, that we would leave here, hopefully just being reminded of things that we do know. Father, that we would afresh and anew be reminded of the wonderful aspects of serving God, and having a full canon copy of His Word that is the only standard. It's full of truth. It's dependable. It's reliable. Father, we thank you that we have it. We thank you preserved it for us. We pray, Lord, you bless. If someone's here today and they've never joined your faith, Father, they can't be in fellowship. Father, today will be the day that you convict their hearts. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Ruben's going to lead us in this invitation. If we can help you come this morning. Everybody, God loves you. John said, I saw him. John said, I heard him. John said, I felt him. He's real. He is. Thank you for attending this morning. Trust you have a wonderful